complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the last verse of Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, verse 18. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." This 18th verse of the book of Ruth, chapter 3. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." These words, "Sit still, my daughter," are often mentioned and quoted one to another. Of those that fear God, to those that fear God, in the circumstances of physical, providential difficulties and troubles. And they have their application there, of course. But, dear friends, I believe the chief application of these words is spiritual. Because the context is redemption. The purchase of one with a price. And dear friends, these words apply to a seeking soul. "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." The account of Ruth is a very sweet account. It's an account of the gracious sovereignty of God. We may look at the various characters and their experience in these a few verses. But, dear friends, we should never be without the fullness of the glory to God for his gracious sovereignty of choosing those whom he shall bless. This young lady, Ruth, as we know, was born outside the Commonwealth of Israel. She was without God. She had no hope of eternal life. A lady of Moab, born in sin and shapen as iniquity, like all of Adam's race, and knew nothing about the living God. But, dear friends, she came into contact with the chosen people of God and became married to Mahlon, the son of Naomi. We can perhaps have many judgments about Naomi and Elimelech being there in Moab with their two sons. But, dear friends, are we going to judge the sovereign hand of God? We do not know when Mahlon married Ruth. We are told they were there of the order of 10 years, when they were only meant just to sojourn there, be there temporarily. But it seems as if they settled after the death of Elimelech. And then Mahlon and his brother Chilion died as well. The sovereign hand of God. the solemn sovereign hand of God. Whereby Naomi could only say, "The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me." And she spoke that in love for her daughters-in-law. "It grieveth me for your sakes that the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me." But dear friends, Naomi did not know the purpose. She did not know what would be the outcome of all this, did she? She tried to send her daughter-in-laws away in kindness. "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." That word rest, dear friends, is in the context, in the Hebrew, of homeliness. The rest of being one with her husband, matrimony. "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, a husband." And she kissed them and sent them away. And they did not go, did they? But when she argued with them that would they tarry till any son of her womb was grown? No, there was no more sons in her womb. They lifted up their voice again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and left. But Ruth clave unto her. Dear friends, here is the sovereignty of God, isn't it? The Lord put within Ruth, through these solemn circumstances, the desire to be one of the children of God. An outcast, we might say. Yet her heart was changed. Her heart was to be one of the children of God more than the wife of a husband by nature. And she clave to her mother-in-law. And so they both returned together to Bethlehem, as the famine had now passed. Ruth proved to be a virtuous woman. You know, dear friends, when the work of God's grace begins to make one seek to be a child of God, confirmed as a child of God, there's that intent in the heart, there's that earnestness. You might say there's that zeal to do what is right in the sight of God and for the Lord's people. When they got back to Bethlehem, it was Ruth who endeavoured to provide for her mother-in-law. There were no menfolk to earn any money for them. So she went out to glean. Dear friends, you know where there's the work of God, the sovereignty of God's grace in one's heart. He will lead and guide them in the way he will have them to go. They're under his eye. They're being kept as the apple of his eye, even though they do not perceive it. We read her hap was to light upon Boaz's field. In other words, the chance it was amongst all the other fields there, she began to glean in Boaz's field. Dear friends, that wasn't by chance, was it? From the outward appearance, as we would say, naturally, there's many things that happen by chance. But they're the coincidences in the hand of Almighty God. And there Boaz became mindful of her. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Dear friends, when the Lord begins a sovereign work in the heart of one who is dead in trespasses and in sins, dear friends, they begin to do and seek for that which is right in his sight, and to trust in him at all times. That hope, that good work within them that has begun, he will perform it. They are a seeking soul at this time. Yes, Ruth was in Egypt. Ruth was in Israel, in Bethlehem. But she was not yet one of the Lord's people. She could not claim to be one of the Lord's people. But she endeavoured and pressed on in doing that which was right under the influence, as she was, of the Lord. It was affecting her mind, her heart, and that which she did, and that which she spoke. Oh, what a humble character she was. She couldn't understand the great mercies which was given to her when handfuls of purpose were left for her to glean and not to be rebuked. And when she got back to Naomi, she told her whose field she had lighted upon. And Naomi said, "Blessed be that one, for he is a near kinsman," or as the margin said, "one who has right to redeem." That redemption would be of the purchase of all that was Elimelech's, and of Mahlon, and of Chilion. And as Ruth would be a young lady, it would fall to her through the one who purchased the possession. It would be through her and the one who bought it to raise up seed for the possession of Elimelech, flowing down through his son and through his son's wife to take possession of their field. He has a right to redeem. He is a near kinsman. Dear friends, nothing happens by chance, does it? And so we read here in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of that which took place. Naomi said to Ruth, "Shall I not seek rest for thee?" This word rest comes again as before. "Shall I not find a home for thee, a husband for thee? Shall I not find one in which you shall live stable and secure, that it may be well with thee?" And so she pointed to Boaz, a much older man. But he was the one who had right to redeem. And she instructs Ruth what she ought to do. And Ruth obeyed that instruction fully. Mark where he lies down. He's winnowing barley. Mark where he lies down, and when he is asleep, and when all is dark. Uncover his feet and lay thyself down there, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Dear friends, this is a prayerful coming, isn't it? A coming by faith. A coming in hope. A coming to the one who could give her rest, give her that which she desired, to be one of the Lord's people. Dear friends, it took boldness to come, didn't it? She was a stranger, as we might say, to these things. But she followed the instruction of Naomi. You know, dear friends, when one who seeks the Lord to be confirmed as one of his people, a seeking soul, they will earnestly search the word of God. They will earnestly hearken to the preaching of the gospel. They will endeavour to do that which is revealed to them, the way to the Master's feet, to the feet of Jesus. We can probably say and call it the throne of grace. How to come? How did Ruth come? Well, she washed herself. She anointed herself. She dressed herself. She made herself as acceptable as she could to come to Boaz's feet. Difference, how do we come to the Saviour's feet? How do we come to that throne of grace? Dear friends, we come to be cleansed from all of our sin, don't we? Confessing it. We don't come lightly. We don't come continuing in that which is evil, or that which is of idolatry, or whatever sinful practices we may fall into from time to time. No. It's the object of our first desire to be found acceptable at his feet. And so Ruth came and lay down herself there. She didn't speak. But dear friends, when Boaz disturbed himself and knew she was there and found out who she was, he didn't cast her away, did he? Who art thou? I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread thy skirt over thine handmaid. Redeem me. Make me one of thine. Make us one. Dear friends, she prayed for the marriage bond, didn't she? Between the bridegroom and the bride. Cast thy skirt over me, for thou art a near kinsman. Thou art one who can redeem. He said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. Thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. She'd left all the natural desires, and her desire was to be one with Boaz. And so it is, dear friends, with a seeking soul, isn't it? At that time of their coming, at the time of that which is the time of their blessing. Why? They forget all other things which they would naturally desire and long for and perhaps covet over. Dear friends, it's the work of the Lord by his Spirit to bring one with singleness of eye and of in faith to that footstool of mercy, the throne of grace, the Saviour's feet. He didn't send Ruth away, did he? He says, you should not be here. Get you hence. He says, lie down until the morning. Oh, dear friends, that's just Boaz as a type of Christ, isn't he? They that come unto me, yes, in all their need. Drawn by the Father, as Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. I will supply all their need. All their need will be supplied according to his riches by Christ Jesus. And dear friends, in the morning Ruth had to depart, but she did not go empty away. He gave her a token of love, token of the assurance that which she had asked of him. He said, I will do all that thou requirest. What a promise. But she had not yet received it. You know, dear friends, a seeking soul can receive a promise, having been at the Lord's feet, having found access in pouring out one's heart before him. They have to get up from their prayers up from off their knees here from their prayers. But he won't let you go empty away. He've given you some token, some promise, some assurance, something of his love. So she returned to Naomi, who said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Dear friends, this "sit still," it does mean now be complacent. It doesn't mean be fatalistic. Dear friends, where there's a promise being given of that which they desire, there's a watching and a waiting for it, there's a longing for it. One watches for it more than those that the night time watch for the morning. But be still. Watch, wait. Expect it to come. Watch, wait in hope. Not a vain hope. A hope of expectation. The man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. But dear friends, something had to be done, didn't it? He says, "There's a kinsman nearer than I who has a right to redeem." And he went and found this one and put the case to him and said, "Naomi selleth a field belonging to Elimelech. It's ready to be bought. You're the nearest one to buy the field, and I'm the one after you. Go and buy it." And he says, "I will redeem it. I will buy it." But when Boaz says, "You must then marry Ruth, the Moabitess," he says, "I cannot redeem it, lest I mar mine inheritance." You know, I've often looked at that as the law. We're closer to the law, aren't we, by nature? We are born under the law. Can the law redeem us? No, the law cannot redeem us. The law has to find everything perfect, exactly, as it should be. As it was if it was just a case of buying the field from Naomi. But to actually take to wife one which was against the law, a Gentile, a Moabitess woman. Oh, the law could not accommodate that. There's no grace under the law, is there? There's only the strict abiding in legalness, bondage. So Boaz says, "I will redeem it." There's grace. There's mercy. There's love, pardoning love. Or there's one to call a sinner from outside of the commonwealth of Israel into the bosom, his own bosom of the love as a child of God. Into the marriage bond. Dear friends, he had to pay the price. Ruth was one here who was bought with a price. A price the law could not pay. The law could make nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Jesus Christ. Oh, what a type of Christ is Boaz. This is how the seeking soul, dear friends, comes into the knowledge of that glorious possession of her heavenly bridegroom. The knowledge that he has paid the price for her, shed his blood, overcome the power of the law, destroyed the power of sin and of Satan. And that love is manifest to them. As Boaz took Ruth, and they became husband and wife. So the heavenly bridegroom Christ takes that seeking soul who he hath purchased with his own blood unto himself. And that love, that redeeming love, is shed abroad in that poor sinner's heart by the Holy Ghost, Then one can say, I am one of the Lord's people, chosen in eternity past, chosen in Christ, because that's what this account of Ruth really is, chosen in eternity past, to become a vessel of mercy, to become one of his own chosen people, redeemed by the price that was paid. And when we look at that spiritually, all the price that was paid, that sinners such as you and such as me could be called out of nature's darkness, far off, into his most marvellous light. That desire, oh, that earnest desire in our hearts to be confirmed as one of the Lord's people. We might say, perhaps first of all, to be betrothed. You know, in the Old Testament, betrothal and the New, betrothal was at the same strength as marriage. And dear friends, when a seeking soul comes into the knowledge of the saving grace of God through Christ, that redeeming love shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, oh, dear friends, there's a sweet assurance then. There's an assurance that heaven is theirs. There's an assurance that there will be no falling away. For he that hath begun that good work, he will perform it. And then, oh, when one finishes the betrothal upon this earth, one enters into the heavenly kingdom at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the robe of that righteousness is then fully put on, isn't it? The Lord, our righteousness. Oh, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. That doesn't mean to say there's some doubt about it. See how the matter will fall. But see how the things will work out to bring the expected end. Sit still. Watch all those things which take place. And watch and wait, sit still, for that full assurance of the Lord's mercy unto your soul. The time of love will come, the hymn writer says. The time of love will come when ye shall truly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say for me, bought with a price, that you're no longer your own. You are Christ's, and Christ is God's, and all things are yours. Sit still, my daughter. Oh, dear friends, you, any a seeking soul. What instruction there is here, isn't there, in the book of Ruth? Do press on, being a seeker. And watch and wait for his mercy to come. I said at the beginning that this text is often applied providentially in circumstances of troubles and difficulties. Yes, dear friends, it is. But first of all, you've got to know this sitting still, to know the salvation of God, the redemption of God through Jesus Christ. To have a foundation upon which you can build your hopes upon. That in all things that now occur in our earthly lives, they're all of God. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how much more shall he freely with you give you all things? And the promises are yours. And those faithful promises, dear friends, will not let you go. They will not let you return into despair. We shall have tribulations. We shall have trials. We shall have disappointments. We shall have difficult things. Some may be short and severe. Some may be longer, and may they be severe as well. But where we know this blessing of the Lord, the redemption of our soul, that we are bought with a price through the shed blood of Christ. Dear friends, There's that which strengthens us, isn't there, in the times of difficulties and troubles and tribulations. There's a purpose in it. This is the way the Lord will have me to go. Well, we find this word still in several places in the scriptures to the people of God. We find it, don't we, in Israel coming out of Egypt. See, they've been redeemed from the power of the Egyptians. They've been brought into the way that would lead them to the promised land. And they came into that great difficulty where it was a hopeless case, as they could see themselves, the sea before them, the valley and they were in, the Egyptians behind them coming after them. Moses saying, stand still and see the salvation of God. And dear friends, the way was made forward, wasn't it? As Moses stretched out his rod over the sea and it divided and they went through on dry land. And the Egyptians coming behind them were all drowned. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Stand still, sit still, be still. Well, we find that with Israel when they went down to Egypt for help later on when they were in the promised land. The Syrians were attacking them. Where could they get help from? They said the strength is in Egypt. And so they went down to Egypt for help and had not asked at the Lord's mouth. It came to nothing. The Lord spoke to them, said their strength is to sit still. That doesn't mean to say just sit back and be fatalistic, as I've said before, no. But it's to depend upon the Lord to help them, like Jehoshaphat did when the enemy came against them. Like Asa did when the enemy of the Ethiopians came against him. They had to put themselves in array for the battle. But dear friends, their help was from the Lord. Their faith was in God, that was their stillness. Trusting in God at all times. Him to perform the battle for them. And they won it, didn't they? Well, we think of that Psalm 46. A very present help in times of trouble. There's a still in that one, isn't there? Where those mountains shake at the presence of God, those mountains, like things we depend upon in our earthly lives, our loved ones, our business, our finances, our peace and safety, lack of warfare and so forth. Oh, they're our strength, aren't they? They're our foundation for earthly life and progress and comfort. But troubles can come and they can make all those shake as if they're going to be removed. God maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot of fire. Be still and know that I am God. Oh dear friends, if he can save your soul from the pit of corruption through the shed blood of Christ, he can save you from every difficulty and trouble and danger in your providential life upon this earth. As we commit our way unto him, trust also in him and he to bring it to pass. David had to flee from his enemies, didn't he? What does that say there? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Dear friends, we've got many heathen rising against the church of God today. Perhaps we're not greatly afflicted directly yet. We may be. But it's generally here, isn't it, in the world and in our nation. Be still and know that I am God. Trusting in him at all times. Committing our fears and our concerns and our weaknesses and all before him. I will be exalted in the earth. As David, when he fled from Absalom. In that fourth psalm. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Oh no, sorry. Yes, but I'll read that verse. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Dear friends, that's spiritual and providential, isn't it? Stand in awe and sin not. Think upon the mercy of God. Consider the salvation through Jesus Christ. The price of the redemption of your soul. His sufferings, how immense. The power of his resurrection. The hope of eternal life. Stand in awe and sin not. Lean upon him, your beloved. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Praying always to be kept in the time of temptation from falling into it. Commune with your own heart upon your bed in those quiet times, those lonely times. Think upon the dear Saviour. Think upon the Son of God. Think upon God the Father. Think upon God the Spirit. And all may the fullness of the Godhead bless your soul with the fullness knowledge of your redemption. Be still. Oh, dear friends, that will bring us peace, won't it? That will bring us rest. Shall I not find rest for thee? Dear friends, the resting in the love of Christ revealed in your heart by the Holy Ghost is a foretaste of the resting in heaven above, in the fullness of the blessing. We now have faith. We now have hope, yes, through this redemption of Christ revealed within us by the Spirit. And we know in measure the love of God, the love of Christ within our hearts. But the fullness of the rest will be in heaven. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, love. But the greatest of these is charity, that love, because that will never depart. We shall need faith no more, nor hope no more in heaven, shall we? It'll be one eternal now of the love, the eternal love of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Or what will it be like to be there? All we know, it'll be an eternal rest. Peace through the pardoning love of Jesus called us out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light, taking us to be to that place he has prepared for us. And dear friends, he will come again, receive you unto himself. What an expectation. His thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Sit still in all things, dear friends, communing with our own heart, thinking upon the power and the blessedness of God, who has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All thy times are in my hand. Then may we by faith, the blessed gift of the Spirit, rest in his love. Amen.